It's always neat when somebody takes a risk, knowing that though you plan for it to turn out well, it doesn't always go that way. And I'm just thinking that, you know, that was a little brave of Jane to have the children build this church when our resident contractor happens to be away for the weekend. If there had been a problem, Mike wasn't here to fix it. But, so, Jane, your faith was rewarded. Tonight, they have the Miss USA pageant. And one of the things that makes it a little bit unique this year is the contestant from Iowa does not have a left forearm or hand. She was a little reluctant to enter the pageant process, but she certainly impressed the judges with her poise, her confidence, and her sense of mission. Now, if Miss USA was going to be judged according to your ability to play the piano, or perhaps to take a large stack of awkward boxes and restack them, she wouldn't or she couldn't win. But that isn't the criteria. So tonight, we'll see how she does. As we continue our journey in John, we're going to be coming to a place in which we have defined for us the role of the Holy Spirit. And within the spiritual criteria of what we do, we need to weigh that against what the Holy Spirit does. For us to embrace His job description will certainly impact the way we look at the way we should live our life. Join with me, if you would, please, in John chapter 16, verses 5 through 16, as we will first consider the arrival is beneficial in verses 5 through 7. Now I am going to Him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus is wanting us to come to grips with his departure. And within that, we can see that as he's doing this, that the disciples are not completely understanding how this is exactly going to work. And within this, the only thing they can do is focus upon themselves of how this impact is going to go. For you see, these disciples have been with him for 3 years. They have followed him. They have learned from him. They've depended on him. And now this one is saying he's going to be gone. And though Jesus is indicating that they should probably be asking, well, where are you going and what's going on? They don't. They're just stuck in their own grief. And so Jesus is quick to remind them, I am going so that the counselor, the Holy Spirit, is going to be here with you. For the past 3 years, Jesus had been only in one place at a time. He had no ability within his humanness to be in multiple places at the same time. But he was telling the disciples that he was going to send one who will be with you always. even if you aren't in the same place at the same time. So Jesus was saying the very presence of God, the one who reveals God, the one who is going to be explaining truth to you, is going to be enough for everyone. And so that we should be excited at this arrival. Now, this is no different than it is for us, that as we gather together to worship here, we know we should be experiencing the power of the Spirit in our midst. Amen? That was a little weak. We'll work on that. You guys weren't expecting that. I didn't give you any heads up. Okay, so I'll take part of the blame. But as we go from here, not only would we experience the power of the Spirit as we are gathered here to worship corporately, but we would experience it as well as we go, because wherever we are, that's where the Spirit is. And so within that, He is going to do His work in us and through us. We are to take God, His power, His resources, wherever we go. Secondly, activity of conviction in verses 8 through 11. When He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in Me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see Me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. You know, Jesus says, okay, this counselor is going to come to you, and as He does, He will tell you what to do. But then He immediately turns and says He will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And it just seems so strange, because for those of us who've been around church for a while, we know that throughout the New Testament, Paul is writing to the church, to the body of Christ, to every single believer, that you will have this Holy Spirit that is going to be the one who will empower you to do spiritual things. That without the Holy Spirit, there is nothing spiritual you can do. So it's all about this indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that makes the church function as a body all together and makes it so that we can impact the world. And we really appreciate Paul for all that writing. And we know he was led by the Holy Spirit to write those things. And so they're absolutely true. But within this, here today, we see that Jesus, rather than starting out with, hey, let me tell you all about church life, He says, and the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Importantly, because Jesus had a ministry. Jesus had a message. He's leaving this place, He's leaving this scene, so that the disciples are going to take over His message and His ministry. So they're going to be doing the same thing He did. Go back there in chapter 15, where it's talking about how that Jesus, as the light of bringing the truth, is going to be rejected by some because it makes them feel really, really nasty about their sin. And that the same thing will be our experience as well. So Jesus is certainly preparing the disciples for this. So as they're focusing on this, you know, that you've got this sin, righteousness, and judgment. Well, of course, sin. You know, the Spirit is wanting to see that everybody knows, hey, this is the problem. You know, I want to offer this relationship with God, but you've got to start with the problem. The problem is sin, and that's what gets in the way. And there's righteousness, which is kind of bringing this whole light thing of, hey, you do it God's way or you're going to be in trouble, and judgment. You're either going to be trusting Jesus for what He did, or you're going to be standing there on your own. Don't want to do that. So we know That just as Jesus is telling them and just as Paul has told us, the Spirit did not come into the world. The Spirit came into believers. And so, if you haven't figured it out, which you have, you're bright, we are the instrumentation of the Spirit, of bringing to the world a knowledge of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Well, we got to be careful there, because we are in no way, shape, or form to be the ones that are doing the judging. As it is, this Holy Spirit is wanting to promote the message that Jesus began through us, and that wants to reveal the Father so that all have the opportunity of responding in faith to a relationship with God. So as witnesses, we declare the message. We are not given the task to convince. Our job is to witness. The Holy Spirit's job is to convince. Think of it much, if you would, as a courtroom scene. And within this courtroom, I mean, here we're obviously using legal terms. We're talking about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Getting a conviction. Our role in this is as the key witness. But the Holy Spirit is the prosecuting attorney. They're the ones who need to he's the one who needs to convince. He's the one who will convict. That's not our job. Ours is to present the message. And if we can remember that, it will keep us all out of a lot of uncomfortable confrontations. Number three, additions for disciples in verses 12 through 16. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from me what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more. And then after a little while you will see me. Jesus is telling his disciples, much as through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he's telling us, we do not know all. We cannot receive all of God's truth all at once and know what to do with it. And that's the reason that the Spirit builds God's truth into our life. And it is here that it's like layers upon layers of truth. That's the reason that we can go and study the same book of the Bible we did 3 years ago, and it's all brand new to us, because that truth is coming to us at a deeper, at a more wonderful level that is exactly where we are today. Just like the last time, it was hitting us right where we were then, which is important. Okay, so as we're building ourselves with this truth on truth, the Holy Spirit doing in our lives, we are a more better picture of God's revelation. The Spirit is just like the Son. What the Spirit is going to be revealing to us is what the Father has given to him. Just like the Son gave exactly what the Son gave exactly what the Father gave to him, the Spirit gives exactly what the Father gave to the Son. So this would preclude any possibility of a private conversation between you and the Spirit of God, saying, hey, I've got this thing going on with these group of people, and if you just kind of stepped in and just really amazed them, I think we could really have a good thing going here. And unless the Spirit has been given this by God the Father, it's not going to happen. Because the Spirit is only going to do exactly what the Father has given him. That's the way it worked for the Son. That's the way it worked for the Spirit. Now, within this Spirit, obviously, we've already talked about how he can be everywhere all at the same time. He'd have to have a lot of ability to do that. You know, I've seen most women are better at that than guys. We can do one thing at a time. They can do many. But this is multitasking on a whole different level without ever getting a break for either lunch or a snack, whatever. The Holy Spirit is always on duty. He's demonstrating the power of God. He's demonstrating the truth of God. He's got to be smart. He's got to be powerful. He's got to be important. And yet, within this importance, there's one thing that the Holy Spirit will never do. The Holy Spirit will never promote himself. The whole ministry of the Holy Spirit is to elevate God. And how is the primary way in which he can do that for people? Is to give glory to Jesus Christ. We see within the ministry of the Spirit, he is always glorifying the Father, he is glorifying the Son. He is all God. He is completely God. And yet, within his role that he must serve, he is never promoting himself. Yeah. Hey, world, did you see what the Spirit did today? Never. Did you see what Christ is continuing to do in and through the world? It's always about the promotion of Jesus Christ. And that is the reason. He is absolutely the perfect companion for us. Because in the power of the Holy Spirit, we will not be promoting ourselves. Within the power of the Holy Spirit, we won't be looking to get credit for something God did. The Holy Spirit is the perfect one to help us live as we should and be able to give all of the glory to him. So, yay for the Holy Spirit. So, as we're looking at how this is all kind of working here, we know that one of the important things that the Holy Spirit does is guide us into truth. Now, for those of you who think that may help on your trigonometry exam, maybe. By application. But the text is here. This is the truth he guides us into so that we know what's in here. And like I've said before, there isn't a single person that has been able to go, okay, give me the whole Bible and now I've spent a year on it and now I've got it. Now I'm good to go. I just marvel at some of the great theological minds that spent 45 years trying to master what's in there and feeling like at the end of 45 years, I got a pretty good handle on it. No, these guys are coming with, man, I feel like I'm just scratching the surface. Because within these layers of truth, they just keep building and building. It's like one delectable layer upon another. And so we can know that with this, that what we do for God is what he's already given us to do. Ephesians 2:10, if you're looking for a reference for that. within that ability of doing what he's given us to do, that he's already set up for us to do, we don't have to know, we don't have to have all the truth. We just have to trust him that he is who he is, and he's busy using us as his messenger, as his witness in this life. God has designed us for joy. Now, within this, as we look at this, that within this, as God is working things in our life, he doesn't use substitution in our lives. He uses transformation. Let me illustrate it this way. Imagine a toddler. That you got this little toddler there, and what's going to happen as soon as he starts getting himself involved with something? Oh no, dear, the baby's playing with the steak knives again. Hey, number one, put them in a different drawer. But you would quickly try to find something else to take the knife and replace it with something safe. The danger has been removed because you're using replacement. And though God can do that in our lives, it's not typically the way that it works. And the reason is this. If God is constantly substituting the bad for the good, we don't grow. We stay immature. So God doesn't normally use substitution, though he can. He normally uses transformation. So in other words, he's not trying to necessarily take us out of the problem. He's using that very circumstance to have his spirit work in us and through us. Because it's in that every circumstance, every relationship becomes part of that package of making us more into the image of Christ, which is the transformation. We've gone from being people dominated by sin to people that are resembling the likeness of Christ. And so that's what the Spirit is all about. So and of course, at what rate are we transformed? He's right there to do it. And it's his job, and he will do it. But he's going to do it at the rate we are willing. Let me share three things with you to perhaps help us apply these verses for today. Number one, don't focus on circumstances, focus on Christ. Christ is busy transforming us. So we should not look for God to substitute the difficulties in our lives with ease. But we should instead look for him to transform us by his power. We should not long for our troubles to be gone, but we should be longing for his spiritual power to be evident. Because that is what will make us into his image. And we aren't going to be able to do that unless we're trusting him. So trust God. And the way we do that is we focus on Christ, not our troubles. Number two, always love, never hate. Jesus shared with his disciples that they were to pick up and carry his message to the world. And in so doing, we should expect the exact same effect he did. Last week, we looked at how Jesus said that there will be those that will reject me. And because of that feeling, that sense of awareness they have of their condemnation, they'll hate me. If that was Jesus' experience sharing his word, then that would be our experience as well. There will be those that reject, and because of that rejection, and we brought God's standards, God's righteousness into view for them, they'll hate us too. We should expect that. But we should also expect, as Jesus went on, and he said, and there were those that will receive. There are those that will believe. if we are somehow or another forgetting why we're in the courtroom, that we are there as the key witness of the love and grace of God that has touched us, and it's like, hey, that's what it is. And we feel bad because somebody refuses to believe. It would be real easy for us to jump up on a soapbox. Say, hey, you sinner. Don't you know you're going to be in real big trouble here real soon with God if you don't get it right? That would be easy for us to do. That would be natural for us to do. Because we really want them to get this message. But we should always love, never hate. And what that means is we are to faithfully give the message of love and of hope. The Holy Spirit's job is to take care of the conviction, not ours. And it will keep us out of unbearable sorrow. Let the Holy Spirit do what he does so that we can focus on what we do. Finally, made like baklava. I love baklava. I've never made it. I've never even seen it made. But there's two things I know. There's hundreds of layers, and it tastes great. The Holy Spirit is building God's truth into our lives, in which we have dozens of layers of which he is laying truth upon truth upon truth. And they are intersecting our lives at the moment they're being laid in. And so that the ingredients may vary a little bit between the layers. He uses both good and bad, positive and negative experiences to build us into this multi-layered messenger to be effective for him. And it is as this is happening that we need to come to grips with our role. God has designed us to shine. He's designed us to be attractive to others. He's designed us to enjoy the building project he's got going in our lives. And of course, if we do, then we will, if we embrace this, then certainly we will become refined. We will become efficient. And we will become effective for Christ. One delectable layer stacked upon another. For God will use every circumstance, every relationship, for us to experience Christ in our life. And it is here that then our lives will glorify him. We are to be wonderfully transformed. May we embrace all the Spirit is to us and all he will do in us and through us. Father, we thank you that as we're introduced more fully to the Holy Spirit here in the Gospel of John, that we are so glad he is with us to be the very presence of God in our lives. And he is building us up to be more like you. Lord, the only danger there is that we become a stumbling block. We become an obstacle because we try to do some of the things he does. May we be faithful in being loving messengers. Lord, help us to leave the conviction to you. In Christ's name. Amen. It's a beautiful day out there, and I'm anxious to go enjoy it too. just want to give opportunity for anyone that would have a decision that they would wish to make public at this time. Perhaps you've been visiting with us for a while and would want to become a member of Clear Lake Christian Church, just ask you to get up and come forward. Perhaps you've never been baptized and you want to testify to this body of faith as well as to the Lord that you want to live for Him. Perhaps you're here today and have never trusted in Jesus as your own. You want to know for sure that you have eternal life. It would be a tremendous privilege to be able to share with you from the Word of God how you can know today you have eternal life. Let us stand. Father, we thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love. We thank you that you have called us unto your own. We thank you that you want us to live in such a way that we are shining as lights. And we are the messengers of love and of hope. You've empowered us in the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the comfort and the strength that that gives us. Lord, may we honor you with all our days. In Christ's name, amen.